Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you listening to this radio broadcast, and we pray that God would just bless you today, that you might be able to understand the things that are being said, that you might give the God the glory and the honor and the praise that only He rightly deserves. We would like to invite you to our church services. They begin this morning at 10 o'clock with our regular Sunday school classes, and then at 11 o'clock this morning, we have our regular preaching service. And then this afternoon at 3:45, we have our prayer service, and then at 4:30 is our evening worship. And then Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. will be our midweek Bible study. So we invite you to come to all of these services. And if there's any questions that you have, we'll be glad to take the Bible and answer those from the Word of God. Now, it may be that you can just find the answer to your inquiries on our church's website. That's independencebaptist.org, independencebaptist.org. There's much information there. There's many sermon outlines that you can look at, and even the radio broadcasts are there. And so you can look at all of that on independencebaptist.org. You can also check out full-length sermons at sermonaudio.com/IBC. Again, that website address is sermonaudio.com/IBC. If there's anything that we can do that will be a help to you spiritually, we'll be very glad to sit with you and to talk with you and to do whatever we need to do to be a blessing unto you. This morning, I'd like to speak on the subject, the silence of God, and take my text from the book of Psalms 50 and verse 3. The Bible said, "Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself." I believe we can say today that God is a silent God. And because God today is a silent God, men will say, there is no God. But that doesn't mean that there is no God. It simply means that God today is a silent God. God has not always been silent. But there are times when God refrains himself from speaking to men or from giving any kind of sign whatsoever. And we're living in a day today when God does not verbally speak to men. God is still on his throne. God is still ordering the universe. God is still in control of this world. He is simply today a silent God. There have been a couple of times in history that God has been a silent God. One of these times is between the Old and the New Testaments. After the book of Malachi, there was a period of some 400 years when God did not speak to men, when there were no prophets to bring God's word unto men. And at the end of that 400-year period, John the Baptist came preaching the gospel, came preaching the baptism of repentance, baptizing those who believe, and preparing the way for Jesus, the Son of God. We are now living when God is a silent God. But God is coming. The Bible said here in Psalms 50 and verse 3, "Our God shall come and shall not keep silence." There was a day when God spoke to Adam in the Garden of Eden. I believe God there spoke verbally to Adam. God spoke orally. Man was able to hear with his natural ears the very words that God spoke. I know also that God spoke to Noah when wickedness abounded upon this world and when men were going away from God at every turn, that God spoke to Noah. And God said, "Noah, I want you to build an ark to the saving of your house." Of course, Many people in that day did not believe the preaching of Noah, and they died in the flood that came. And even today, there are many that do not believe the words that preachers preach. They do not believe the word that the Bible, the Word of God, the King James Bible, as it relates to us today, when it speaks about the coming judgment of God. Men do not believe, and they will also face the judgment of Almighty God. There was a day when God spoke to prophets of old. God spoke to Solomon. God spoke to Jeremiah. God spoke to Isaiah. God spoke to Malachi. God spoke to Nehemiah. God spoke to many of these Old Testament prophets. And His word was true. And His word came to pass. Even as God related His word to those people, it came to pass. Jesus Christ, about 2,000 years ago, walked upon the face of this earth, and everything He said was true and according to the very will of Almighty God. And everything that Jesus did, He did, fulfilling the prophecies that were given concerning Him. And all of those things came to pass. Jesus Christ said that He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and that's what He did. Jesus Christ said that He was coming in order to die on the cross of Calvary, that men might have a way of everlasting life. But not only did Jesus die on the cross, He was buried in that rich man's tomb, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, arose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. John was a man that heard the very words of God as he was exiled on the isle there of Patmos. And God gave John prophecies concerning the end of time. After the Lord raptures out His church, and the church there is that local assembly. And when the people of God are gone. And God said to John all those things that was going to happen. And John wrote those things down in the book of Revelation. We find the day that God is a silent God. He is not speaking audibly. Rather, God is now speaking to us through His Word. God is relating to us who He is, what He is, and what He's going to do through His Word. I know today that there are those mockers that would come and they would say, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning." The very fact that there are mockers indicates to me that the prophecy that God gave is coming to pass, and that His return is sooner than we could imagine that it is. I believe that we ought to lift up our heads upon high. I believe that we ought to look today, because Jesus Christ is very likely to come back today. Someone would say, "Well, what about all the prophecies that are going to be fulfilled?" As far as we can find in the Bible, those prophecies are fulfilled that would hinder the rapture. Remember this, that when Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven 2,000 years ago, that His disciples were looking for Jesus to come then. Remember this, that the Apostle Paul said in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that he was expecting Jesus Christ to come back before he died. In other words, the Apostle Paul was stating that all of those prophecies that would hinder the rapture of the saints had already been fulfilled. The last time, as far as the book of 1 John is concerned, began when Jesus Christ ascended up into His Father. This is the last time today. We're living in the absolute very, very last of the last time. We're looking today for Jesus to come back. Men might consider Jesus a silent God, and that He is. But one of these days, Jesus is going to come back. The trumpet is going to sound, and the voice of the archangel shall shout, and the saints that are dead in Christ shall arise first, and then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall also go into the heavens there to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to come. I know this world is not looking for Him. I know perhaps today that you are not looking for him, but I trust that you are. I trust today that you're saved by the grace of God and will not have to go through the great tribulation period when it starts upon this world. And that's going to be a time of trouble like this world has never seen. But listen, folks, as sure as I'm preaching this and as sure as you're listening, there are people alive today that will go into that tribulation period. They will suffer, and they will, many, many people, be killed because they have turned their back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this, furthermore, concerning not only that Jesus is going to come back, but also that Jesus is our judge. The Bible said here in Psalms 50 and verse 6, "The heavens shall declare his righteousness," now listen at this, "for God is judge himself." You see, there is a judge coming, and Jesus Christ is that judge. Listen to John chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The Bible said, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him." Jesus Christ is our judge. He is the one that is going to hold us accountable for what we have done in this world. Do not ever doubt that it is so. The Bible said here in the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 9 through verse 12, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother?" Now listen at this. "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Notice what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 and verse 11. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Notice, the Bible says very, very clearly that all people that are saved will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And there, every saved person will give an account for the things done in their body, whether it is good or whether it is bad. This passage would compel us to live daily the way God wants us to live, as we look to the judgment seat of Christ, knowing that we're going to give an account to God for what we have done in this body, whether he says it's right or whether he says it's wrong. It doesn't make any difference what society declares. It doesn't make any difference what the laws of the land state. What makes the difference is what God says about our lives. He is a silent God at this time, but there's coming a day when God will no longer be silent, when he shall come for the very explicit purpose of judging his people. Not only will God judge the saved, but God will judge the lost. Listen, Revelation 20, verse 11 through 14 states this, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Yes, God will judge the saved, but God will judge the lost. Today, if you're lost, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in him, and be saved, and stand before God at the judgment seat and not at the great white throne judgment. Thank you for listening.